A martial arts champion in search of the glow.
Master, I need more time.
I am no longer your master.
A rock and roll star on the rise.
I know what it's like to lose precious things.
A madman.
Shogun of Harlem.
A maniac.
You're gonna put my video on your show, aren't you?
The answer is no.
Help! Somebody help me!
And the glamour, the power, and the sound of Motown.
I don't want you to kill anybody.
Are you out of your mind?
And the Leroy Green I'm looking for is a little punk thinks he's a kung fu master.
I am no master.
You sure look like a master to me.
This is Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon. It's about the power of the glow. Timok, Vanity. Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon, directed by Michael Schultz, a Motown Productions picture from TriStar.
Oh, God.
All Welcome right. back to Take Two.
The podcast where we record one episode and then do it again.
Luckily, this time we only made it 4 minutes through.
Yeah, instead of half an hour. but anyway, guys, again, it's Chris.
And it's Jack.
And we watched a movie.
Nice.
The movie was The Last Dragon from 1985.
Barry Gordy's. Oh, the sorry. Last Dragon.
Motown, Berry Gordy, The Last Dragon. It stars a young man named Leroy Green, who is very into martial arts and is looking for a master. And along the way, he gets entangled in plots to kidnap a young woman named Laurel Charles, who runs a TV music video show. And her pursuer is Eddie Arcadian, a maniacal arcade owner, who gets multiple people involved to capture her and stop Leroy, including another person into martial arts named Shonuff, the Shogun of Harlem.
That Who's is the baddest, Chris?
Shonuff.
Who's the prettiest?
Shonuff.
God, so good.
That's why Busta Rhymes has it in one of his music
videos. I know! My God.
All right, that is as concise as a synopsis I can give for this movie. There's so much going on in this movie. I would recommend watching it before you listen to this. Because there's no clear summary of that. Jack, do you want to give it a go?
Not really. I barely understood what happened. To be fair, I only watched this one time. You've probably seen it like 30 times.
I grew up with this movie. It is not a movie you could break down into like a few seconds.
Like, it's a very... It's just strange because yes. There are a lot of quick cuts and it doesn't, like, explain what's happening very often.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, halfway through a scene, you'll be like, oh, now I understand what's happening.
Yes.
Now I understand the context.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they're in... Like, when Shonuff shows up to Leroy Green's parents' pizza shop and starts destroying everything. Throws his little brother in a trash can. I was like, why are they at a pizza shop right now? What's happening? Also, why is Shonuff trying to fight Leroy so badly?
We'll get to that. Oh, God. So, yeah, this movie starts off with Leroy doing his best martial arts training montage. There's some really soulful Motown music. And then we see...
Soundtrack is very good.
Soundtrack.
I actually do like that a lot.
Dude, the soundtrack's fucking dope. Like,
it's probably the best thing about this whole movie.
Berry Gordy.
God bless Berry Gordy.
Exactly. Oh, man. But, yeah, so we see him and his master training or whatever. And he's like... flipping and kicking and breaking arrows with his hand and stuff
this
and everything.
Scene off the bat is so dumb.
Yes.
It just looks so goofy. He's like just like going up and like slapping things. Like
he's kicking and hitting like bags and stuff and like these like those dolls that you train on while his master is shooting arrows at him.
I just start laughing immediately. He shoots three arrows. The first two, Bruce. We should just call him Bruce Leroy. It's easier that way. He breaks the first two, and then he catches the third, which his master appears mad about, and then he makes a joke about, like, kung fu movies and, like, you know, your students bowing down immediately every time you think you've disappointed the master.
It's subversion.
I did not know this was going to be a meta movie.
But yeah, but his master goes ahead because, like, he rips off his badge on him or whatever, and Leroy assumes he did something wrong, but his master's like, no, you've completed the circle. This was the last dragon. You know, casual insert movie name right there.
Roll credits.
Roll credits.
Wait, that's not our joke.
You're trying to get us sued? I have to edit that out. Oh, God.
I have complete faith in you that you can edit that out.
Oh, God. But yeah, so he's like, you've completed your training or whatever. And Leroy's like, what do you mean, master? Also, Leroy talks in this weird way. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
White. Super bland white person.
I will not use those words.
I'll use those words. It's fucking hilarious. He's such a boring person.
But master.
Please, master, may I have some more? I don't know what he's doing! Like, to be fair, this guy, like, Tamek, this is the first time ever acting, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, this is his first time ever acting. He was just...
As far as I know, this is his last time ever acting as well.
Yes, it is. He was like a 19-year-old martial artist from New York that they were like, yeah, you got it, kid.
Whatever it is, you got it, Tamek.
We need a good-looking man to deliver lines like a statue. You got it.
I'm pretty sure that's how Barry Gordy talks. You got it.
No, he's like, I got it. As in, I own all of this.
This is all mine.
I am Motown. All right. But Jesus, the movie. Okay. He's telling us his training is complete, but Leroy doesn't believe him because his master said when he finished the training, a orange light would appear around him or something called the glow, and it hasn't occurred. So...
Yeah, where is the glow? Why have I not glowed up yet?
Where's my glow up, master?
Master, where it is?
Hashtag glow up. Leroy, you speak these strange words. Oh, God, but, yeah...
The next scene is just him walk around and just walk around New York wearing like traditional, like, I don't know, like Chinese garb or something.
He looks like a Chinese rail worker.
He really does, like, and like, I swear, like, they're just walking around New York and they had a camera from like a distance away and, like, you know, he's just walking around doing his thing.
Dude, I'm assuming everyone in New York's like, it still isn't the weirdest thing I've seen. Black man in a traditional Chinese garb.
Not even close to the weirdest thing I've seen.
And we transition to a movie theater where Leroy is seeing Enter the Dragon. Ah, such a good movie. And while he's watching, we are introduced to one of our villains of the movie. You know, who's the baddest?
Who's the prettiest?
The Shogun of Harlem, shown up.
Before we get to that, why in these movies, why in this and Scream 2 are these movie theaters just filled with boxing people? And people are just screaming. Someone brings in a boombox and they're like...
Breakdancing?
They're breakdancing. People are like throwing stuff at them. Some guy comes up and smashes it. It was like, I've never been to a movie theater like this.
Me neither. People are being really rude. Shownuff shows up to get his like seat. He is straight up like, dude, he's like a Saturday morning cartoon character, like, you know,
he
like,
really is.
He looks like the costume, he's got like red shoulder pads and this, like, he looks like a gangster who's really like samurais. Like, he's got like Converse and crap on and like, he has a whole gang with him in like army attire and red shogun-like clothes, like.
I really thought they were trying to do, like, an anime thing. But I don't know if anime even existed in 1985.
Dude, this movie is so anime.
It really
this
is.
This movie is, like, but it's, like, pre-anime, so it's so, it's, like...
It, so it makes it confusing. This movie's a pioneer.
Dude, as the movie progresses, it is so anime.
We'll get to that.
But yeah, so Shonobu wants to get a seat with his entire crew of hip-hop loving, very multicultural. They're like white, black, and Hispanic. I think there's even an Asian person in his gang of people.
We need more people like Shonobu.
Exactly. Diversity matters. But he wants to see...
Bad takes seal of approval.
Bad takes approves of Shonobu.
The real hero.
But yeah, so, and then the next scene is just, like, we meet our other villain, Eddie Arcadian, in his weird, super 80s office.
I thought that was his, like, apartment or something.
Is that his apartment? It's got, like, a desk in there. It's, like, it's a large room with, like, a desk and, like, a couch and stuff and TVs.
I really thought this is just where he lived. Considering he has, like, his maniacal, like, fish tank that eats just these huge pieces of raw meat, but we don't ever see what's in there because the tank is so murky.
Never see what's in there. Don't know what it is. They never explain it either.
They don't. It's only referenced one more time later.
Again, dude, another Saturday morning cartoon aspect of this. Like, this...
Like, they don't say what it even could possibly be. It's not even a big tank, like...
No. I would assume maybe piranha, but I don't know.
I have no idea what's in there. You really need to clean that tank.
It's disgusting.
That's very, very gross.
It's like blue or green.
No wonder these fish are so mad. You think so quickly.
But yeah, so we meet Eddie Arcadian, this maniacal dude who wants to get his girlfriend's music video on Seven Heaven. So he's pressuring a friend of Laura's to get her to come on the show. We also meet his girlfriend and his main muscle, Rocco.
I think it's just Rock.
It's just Rock.
His name is Rock. No, yeah, played by Mike Starr. Rock.
Mike Starr, talented actor, Rock. And then Angela, his girlfriend. So we immediately go then from to like Seven Heaven, where like we meet Laura, and then her friend JJ, played by William H. Macy.
Nice.
The best actor is in this movie for about 30 seconds. That's William H.
The only actor you know, really.
Yes, the only actor anyone will recognize. William H. Macy is here for 30 seconds, where he begs Laura to take the meeting, because, you know, he's terrified of Eddie Arcadian. And as this movie progresses, I understand why.
Just because he's a psychopath.
Please. He is so intense of a, like, he's like, you know, being silly and time, but he's very intense for this movie. Like, it's...
Oh, he legitimately scares me later, but we'll get to that.
But, my goodness, so she refuses, like, I don't want to do that. And JJ calls and tells him that, and he is pissed. He is so pissed. So, what is it? After the show, Laura's leaving or whatever, and she gets into her car, but it's not her driver. It's Eddie Arcadian's guys, and they're attempting to kidnap
her. They're goons.
His goons. And just when you think all hope is lost, in comes Leroy Green.
And, like, you know, they're going down the way, and, like, this driver makes it immediately known that he's kidnapping her. And for some reason, he stops, and they, like, open the doors just so she can get out, and it's like, Leroy Green is, like, a block away, and he's like, I'm gonna stop this.
Dude, they stop, like, 10 feet away. Like,
These criminals are very incompetent.
They're terrible. It's like, he stops just to let the other guys into the car or something, so it's like, all right, guys, I'm gonna, like, take the car over there, I'm gonna pick her up, you guys stay here at the corner, and then... I'll come and pick you up. We don't want her to see this coming. But goodness, but yeah, Leroy beats the crap out of these guys, saves Laura, but then he drops a shiny medallion given to him by his master. And he pulls a straight Batman. He vanishes. Like, she was picking up
the
her
camera
stuff.
Turns for like a second. I'm pretty sure in the scene you can hear, like, something, like, scurrying or something. Like, I swear there's a noise during this scene. And then if the camera turns back around and Leroy's just gone.
Vanished.
It's funny because Laura goes up to the taxi driver and she's like, did you see where that guy went? And he was like, oh, he's right over. Oh, I don't know where he went. He was just right there.
He's also just as confused. It was, oh, yeah. Oh.
We're, like, tripling down on this joke that he just disappeared.
But then, like, dude, literally, like, 5 seconds after they leave, he comes right back. He's, like, he's looking for his medallion. He's like, no! My medallion! And then what's weird is, I don't know what time of night it is. I feel like it's late at night. But then we go just straight to the dojo, where he's, like, training his students that he teaches, apparently.
Right. This part is extreme. This is what I'm talking about. This scene left me so confused. I was like, okay, so he was just a student, like, a second ago, and now he has his own dojo, and he's, like, teaching all these kids. And it's like, it's, he seems to know all these kids pretty well. You assume that he's been doing this for, like, a little bit.
He's got a large class. There's, like, 10 to 15 people in here, like...
He's rented out this whole place somewhere in New York. I don't know why he's still living at home with his parents, like...
Exactly, it's like... Also, if you don't, you know, like, if you're still, yeah, a student, how long have you been teaching these guys while you've been getting, like, being taught by your master, like... Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Naturally, he's my personal favorite character in this whole movie. Mm-hmm. But we meet Johnny.
I knew you'd love Johnny.
Johnny's so funny.
Of course, he's hilarious.
I swear, he looks like the Karate Kid as well, which is really funny.
He looks like a more Asian Karate Kid.
Right, I feel like that's on purpose. Like, he has the same hair, the exact same hair.
Yeah. Hey, dude, this movie came out a year after The Karate Kid.
Barry Gordy's like, oh, I'm gonna rip on him. Because Johnny's, like, incompetent.
Yes.
And, like, doesn't know anything about karate or anything. And he just, like, he's like, oh, yeah, here's the thing is, you just make a bunch of sudden movements and a bunch of sounds. Like, what?
And he's like, you see, people are scared of Asian guys. They think they know some stuff. So, you know, it's like, you know, you talk about the art of winning a fight without fighting. I've mastered the art of fighting without knowing how to fight.
Naturally, one of the other students just, like, hits him in the face and gets knocked out. Just like
Leroy says some ancient Easter wisdom to him, and he's just out of it. He's like, what? What did you say?
He does that the whole movie. Because Leroy talks so weird, so cryptically. Every time he says something to Johnny's like, I don't know what you're saying to me.
Leroy only talks encrypted Eastern philosophy or broken English.
And a bland white person accent.
You would not think this man lived in Harlem.
You really wouldn't. I'm not sure where he belongs, though.
Dude, it's like he got off of a foreign exchange excursion to China. Like, he just got back and...
Like the Karate Kid.
These need a crossover. This should have been a thing.
They really should have.
Oh, goodness.
Finally getting to the point of this weird scene.
Yes.
Shownuff walks through the door and, you know, starts harassing Leroy again. And, you know, like, trying to goad him into fighting him. And, like, it just nothing happens.
Doesn't. And they keep taunting him. So, obviously, Johnny, the best boy, comes to his master's aid. With his technique of yelling and doing random movements.
He goes up, does this talk shit, they immediately go after him, he runs away.
He shoves another student into runs behind students.
I love him.
And then, like, they grab him or whatever, and they're, like, threatening him, Johnny, and Shonoff's like, kiss my Converse, or, like, we'll snap him in two. So... He goes down and kisses Converse. He kicks him in the face.
That was just, you know, make sure it wasn't rated too highly.
Yeah.
Kiss my Converse.
But yeah, so that's the end of that. And we switched back to, it's the morning now. We're at, like, Leroy's house. He's practicing martial arts on his roof with, like, a whole, like, setup while his family's getting ready for breakfast. And then we meet his brother. Oh, goodness.
The second best character in the movie.
Richie.
Richie Green.
who is not tolerating it. Richie is like the brother from, you remember that movie, The Country Bears?
No.
Oh, God. Oh, I won't go into it then. He is not tolerating his brother's weird-ass, like,
Chinese. Oh, no, he's just roasting him.
He roasts him entire, like, he's like, and the parents just are like, parents are literally like, Leroy's not on drugs, no one's pregnant, and he's not gangbanging or something. We're fine with this.
He has his own dojo.
He's a successful local businessman.
He's just a weirdo.
He's very weird, but he respects his parents. He's not on drugs. He's a good kid.
And Richie's like, fuck that. And a racist motherfucker.
Oh, God. But then, yeah, they see Laura or whatever on TV. Richie's obsessed with Laura. He keeps saying that's like my girl, my gal, my wife.
Also, like, Richie's like 10.
Richie is 10 years old.
He's 10. He talks like he's a full-grown adult. Like,
Richie talks like he's had two kids.
Two kids, single dad is what he sounds like.
But yeah, Leroy recognizes Laura or whatever, and he's like begs Richie to like take him to one of her shows so he can get his medallion back. And like, Richie's like, ah, finally, you went to girls. Nice, man. But he's like, but Leroy, even if you got her or whatever, you wouldn't even know what to do. And it's like,
he was like, you wouldn't even know where to stick it.
And Leroy, if you don't know where to stick it, it can hurt. It's like, it's 10.
Like, it was like, Jesus, Richie. Do you even know what you're talking about? Like, you do. I'm curious as to how you know these things. 1985, the internet does not exist at this point.
Dude, exactly. This is... Rich. That's what... Richie has been into some things as a 10-year-old.
Clearly.
He's more sexually experienced than Leroy. And then, on the way to, like, the show, because he finally agrees to let Leroy take him, as long as Leroy carries him on his shoulders and raps. And Leroy gives the worst ever attempt to rap I've ever seen.
Bro, this is what I sound like when I try freestyle.
What's up, my man? Hey, you know
what it is? Hey,
brother, dude, you know it's like this. Yeah,
and it be like that. And
you know, so, and Richie's like, no, stop. This is awful. Let me down.
I cannot stand this anymore.
If he didn't say it,
Leroy's like, no, please, let me try again.
Richie, please.
But yeah. I am just trying to fit in.
Yeah, they get there, and, like, Richie gets in to the place, and I'm assuming basically ditches his brother, so Leroy's waiting outside. And while he's waiting outside, he sees Laura get abducted again. In a random van. And they drop a board that says, Eddie Arcadian Productions.
It's literally a... No, it's on the side of the van.
Oh, it's on... But they also do drop a board.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
These fools.
Why would they take that van?
Why are these people so incompetent?
Exactly. So now we're like... We are taken to a straight torture scene as... Eddie is forcing Laura to watch... fucking his girlfriend's
Angela's.
Angela's music video.
Quick note about Angela. I could have sworn watching this movie that her character, like, not the character, but the actress was, like, 50 years old watching it.
Yes.
But when I looked it up, like, she was, like, in her, like, 20s when she did this movie. No. I was like, I don't understand this.
I don't get it either, dude. When I thought she was, like, 40-something, like, but 20s. Apparently, also, I did some research. Berry Gordy, because she's doing, like, an impression of another really popular, like, 80s singer. I don't know her name. But the impression was so good, and Berry Gordy liked it so much, he tried to have her start an actual music career.
That's hilarious. God, I love Berry Gordy.
The man swung so many times at so many things. But yeah, so he's forcing her to watch, and he's literally like she's looking away at one point, and Eddie grabs her face and turns it back to the TV.
It's so funny. She's like rolling her eyes watching this music video, and like, how couldn't you? Like, it's so dumb.
It's literally torture. Like,
but I mean, it's very funny. It's a very funny scene.
Oh, God, this is random move back just because I remembered it. when after Leroy beat the crap out of his goons the first time and they go back to him, I thought this was funny.
Oh, like, oh my god, I forgot about this too. No, you're right. Keep going.
They're like, oh, boss, I'm sorry. We messed up. Like, messed up? What happened? It's like, oh, she had like 20, 30 guys. They were all black guys, too. Big
they,
black
they
guys.
They all looked at each other. They were all
black.
They were the one black guy in their little group.
Because the goons are three white guys and one black guy. And the two white guys like, yeah, they were all big black guys. And they both look at him. And the black guy's just like, yeah, they were all big guys. They were, yeah.
Yeah, like 20, 30 big black guys. They, yeah. they beat us up.
And immediately Eddie's like, all right, that makes sense. We'll have to get some.
Sounds right.
Just another one of these randomly weird race things in this movie.
The little race things in this movie are so funny.
Oh, God. But, yeah, back, so, after they're done watching the video or whatever, Laura's not having it. She's like,
I will never play this.
Yeah.
On my show.
Exactly. And she's being as polite as she can. She's like, this just isn't for my show. I don't think it's, like, terrible, but it's not for my show. And Angela's trying to, like, calm Eddie down. But this is one of the scenes where Eddie becomes unhinged. This is Eddie unhinged. Because he's like, I try to be nice. Try to be good to you. Screw it. He tells him his guys to grab her and hold her down. And I can only assume they are about to start torturing Laura.
Lord knows what was about to happen.
Oh, my, dude, he has the perfect crazy eyes. Like, he looks so nuts in every one of these scenes.
He does look like a crazy person every single scene.
And it brings you, because this movie feels like, oh, yeah, you know, this is like a fun 80s martial arts kids movie, family movie, whatever. His scenes make this a little too intense. It's like...
His scenes make this not appropriate for children.
This makes it terrifying. His scenes and whenever Richie talks, it's like, this isn't a kid's movie. But, yeah, so... But luckily, before that happens, Leroy breaks in, dressed up as a ninja, to conceal his identity for some reason. And beats up all the guys... and then takes Eddie or whatever and tells him to, like, you know, stay away from Laura, and he's like, screw you, and pulls off his mask. It was very easy to pull off, and he
doesn't even react. Leroy is some kind of master kung fu artist. He's too slow to react to this dude just taking off his mask.
Just to note, Eddie is, like, a 45-year-old, very short man, who is not intimidating or look like he would be fast. So this is very surprising.
He does not have those hands.
He's worse looking Danny DeVito. yeah, so, and then Leroy, thinking it would be funny, wants him to cool off, puts
this
his
scene, I was super nervous. Because I thought he was going to kill Eddie in this scene. Because... He goes up to the tank, and I was like, oh my god, like, they just showed us earlier that, like, this devoured that meat that they put in there, and he puts his whole head in, and then pulls it out. I was like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? And, like, there's just a strip of hair missing, and yeah. I was like, that was a lot less than I thought was going to happen. I thought he's gonna come out, like, disfigured or something.
Dude, exactly. Like, that would explain a little bit more why Eddie becomes so much more unhinged as this movie progresses. But no, he just loses some hair and some pride.
Yeah, he becomes Two-Face. Is this Batman? Are we watching Batman right now?
This is Harlem's Batman. Dude, this movie actually does become Batman in so many ways. Like, but we'll get there. but yeah, so he saves her or whatever and takes her out of there. He takes her back to her place. And she's so appreciative and stuff. And, like, tells him to, like, take a seat or whatever, you know. She's just become completely infatuated with him. Like, she goes back
to... I mean, he has saved her two times now. Dire circumstances.
He has saved her two times. Though Leroy is incredibly odd and weird, he's a good-looking guy, and...
He's jacked.
He is jacked. But yeah, so they, like, sit down or whatever, and she's asking him some questions and stuff and everything, and thanking him and everything. And then, like, they're having all these, like, charged moments. He looks super uncomfortable. And then she's like, you thirsty? You know, she's like, clearly, like, you want, like, a drink or something or whatever. And he just stands up and he says, the clock and the rooster are not far apart. I must go.
And then trips.
Trips and walks out.
Says he's sorry and then walks out.
And she's just like, I'm going to hit that.
She is. And what I was thinking was, Richie was right. Richie actually knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Well, of course, because, hey, you know, he's not a great actor, Leroy. But he's pulling off being nervous super well in this scene. Like, he is, like, looking around and stuff and, like, making eye contact with her and looking away and feeling uncomfy, like...
He's terrified of her.
This has to be the first woman's place he's been at alone with.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
I mean, he just hangs out with an old Asian man all the time instead.
That only works for Ralph Macchio.
Go, Ralph.
Oh, God. But yeah, so he dips out of there. And then again, another quick cut. We're back. Leroy's back on his journey to find Samdam Goy. The master that his master told him about that enlightened him and finished his training. And he goes to this fortune cookie factory where he meets these three very colorful Asian men who are singing Sucky Yucky Sam Dung Suck to Me, I Suck to You or something like that.
I don't know what's going on.
It's complete gibberish. I looked this up. It's all gibberish.
It's kind of a bop.
It's actually pretty catchy. Like, when they're like, because they're just dancing outside, there's like a crowd of people around.
They're lip syncing too. Like, yeah.
They are getting it or whatever. And like, Leroy comes up to them and they're like, oh, what's up, soul brother? And all that stuff and everything. Like, and then they hear him speak.
Hello, I am looking for the master.
And they are like, ain't no masters here. Ain't no slaves either. Dude, oh the God. Acting cues for these guys are like, you ever seen the crows from Dumbo?
No, literally, that's what I was thinking of. Like, this is how they're acting. Like, I think that's really interesting that, like, they're, like, flipping into this really weird thing where, like, these Asian guys are, like, talking, like, you would think, like, white people think black people talk like. Exactly.
They have this black guy who speaks in a way you'd assume white people would speak and loves Asian culture, and you have these three Asian guys who would speak like stereotypical black people. Like, the racial stuff in this movie is all over the place. Like,
oh, God.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, they're, like, just clowning on him and stuff and everything, and he's being very adamant about seeing the master, and they're like, nah. And then one of them comes up to him and is like, let me say this in a way that you'll remember. I'm not going to say this how he said it. But he basically says, like, chops, choppy, choppy, something, something, other racist Chinese things to this black man, again, dressed up as a Chinese rail worker, and tells him to get out of there. But yeah, so immediately again, one of these quick cuts, we are at the pizza place, because we didn't say this, but Leroy's dad owns a pizza shop. Again, another weird thing, because like, at the like breakfast scene...
He makes a point of this. He's like, well yeah, you never expected a black man to open his own pizza joint in,
exactly.
In New York.
Because like, he's trying to defend, because like, you know, Richie's like, he's so weird or whatever, with all this like, you know, Asian stuff and everything, and his dad's like, I own a pizza shop. I'm a black man with a pizza shop. Like,
I feel like one is weirder than the other.
One is weirder than the other. Oh, God. Yes, dude, this is cultural appropriation, the movie. But, yeah.
Cultural appropriation, the parody.
But, yeah, so they're at the pizza place, and then who else shows up but Shownuff looking for Leroy Green? And, like, they're like, you know, we don't know where he is, but even if we did, we wouldn't tell you. And Shownuff takes this opportunity to destroy their pizza shop. He just starts kicking the boom box and smashing tables. His guys are smashing everything.
The moment he, like, chops that table in half, I just started dying laughing. That was so funny. It's like, how does that make any sense?
Ah, it just breaks it with his fist. Richie tries to defend his family home, gets lifted up and put into a trash can.
It's very sad. The jukebox is playing, and it's playing one of Angela's songs.
Somehow,
it's a weird thing, because
it's like, he wants to use Seven Heaven to get her stuff on TV or something.
But she's on jukeboxes already? Like, exactly. She's already doing fine, like.
Exactly, it's like, how does, alright, whatever.
But then showing up, you know, of course, just punches it and smashes it. And Mr. Green is like, I don't even own that. I don't even know what that means. So I was like,
you renting a jukebox?
I was like, what kind of line is this? I don't understand.
Dude, this movie has so many lines. Like, oh, God. But yeah, and they, like, basically tell Leroy we were here and to, you know, fight me or whatever. So they dip. And Leroy
immediately turns around the corner. No doubt these goons could easily have seen him. They just drive off.
Dude, did you see that van? That van also reminded me of, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles van or something. They have this, like, red or black van they all jump into and drive off in.
The gang, you know. We're Scooby.
Oh, but yeah, he gets back right after the destruction. Richie blames him because he's a coward. And his parents...
And I agree.
Of course. He's just not fighting him for some reason, and it's like, it's not like...
Just fight him, win or lose, or something, and this will probably stop. Like,
exactly! This is beyond, like, because there's always, you know, like, self-defense arguments in so many martial arts movies, but you are far beyond that. The people are attacking your students, your family, like...
Just random people!
Just random... These people deserve an ass-kicking, like... but... Yeah, and then there's another quick scene where we see Leroy angrily punching a bag in his dojo and letting out some aggression when who else but Laura shows up. Again, super, super wanting to get into Leroy's pants. She's like, hey, you know, I, you know, want you to be my bodyguard. You know, I need a kung fu master to protect me. And
she is laying it on heavy.
She is biting her lip and staring at him like... And he only reacts when she's like, I need a kung fu master. He's like, I am not a master.
Damn it, Leroy.
And she's like, you look like a master to me. And again, he just...
Because you don't know kung fu.
Should have been a thing. But yeah, she's still just trying to... And then, like, she gets down very close to him. He's like, he's been fighting the bag. He has no shirt on. He's really greased up and sweating. She's like, staring at him. So how about it? And he's like, how about what? It's just like, Leroy.
Leroy, you fool.
But who better to come in now to explain the situation than Johnny? Shows up to the dojo, sees this scene, he's like, oh, God, I'm so sorry, I'm interrupting. And they're like...
And then he steps closer.
Yeah. He's like, wait, you're Lord Charles. Oh, my God, like, Lord Charles. And still, Leroy is just unfazed, so pissed. And she decides to leave or whatever, and he talks to Johnny for a second.
Lord Charles said, it was nice to meet me. Did you hear that? She said it was nice to meet me. And of course, Leroy is not paying attention to Johnny at all.
Not at all. He's like, I don't care.
No one cares what Johnny thinks.
Yeah.
Except for me.
And then we switch to... Back to Eddie Arcadian, who is doing goon auditions.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, he's... This scene is super funny. Because, like, the, like, most memorable person in this scene is the guy who just keeps barking at them.
He's got fur on and a collar, and he does not say... He hands them a piece of paper that says double.
What? You want us to pay you double? He's just like,
Scrappy-Doo, and he smashes the table with his skull. And then I do like this.
Eddie. No, I love this too, because Eddie comes up and he's like, pay this man whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, take that expense of the table out.
You know, at times, I feel like this movie is kind of making fun of Barry Gordy. At times.
There are times when, like, the dialogue is so on point in this movie. Like, it's with those lines where it's like, oh my god. But yeah, he's just, it is like, this is again a scene where this movie becomes incredibly Batman. He is recruiting goons. And each of these goons look like, you know, a third tier Batman, like, bad guy. Like,
yeah, seriously, they look like they're all coming out from the circus or something. Like,
bro, these are like the rejects from Mortal Kombat. Like,
honestly,
this is, like, this is
Mortal Kombat B-sides.
You see, when they were developing Mortal Kombat, they actually watched this movie.
Oh, is that true? That's why my favorite character in Mortal Kombat is shown up.
You know, I think I like Johnny Cage more as Bruce Leroy. Oh my god. But yeah, so they switch from there to, like, you know, we see Angela practicing with her girls for a music video. And then Eddie comes in and he's like, oh, we're gonna get him. We're gonna get you that music video, and I'm gonna get Leroy.
And everything's and I'm gonna get rid of Leroy.
Yeah.
It's all gonna be good. And Angela's like, what does that mean? Are you gonna kill him? And he's like, yes.
Yes. He's like, what else? He disrespected me. I gotta kill him. And she's like, I don't want you to do. He's like, no, she's like, are you doing this for me? He's like, of course. Like, well, if it's for me, I don't want you to kill anybody to do this. And he just snaps. Like, he just snaps. Like,
Leroy disrespected me. Bro, you gotta relax. You're, like, out here kidnapping people. Like, what, he shaved your head? That's, like, the worst thing that happened. Like,
exactly.
He'll grow back, probably.
Exactly. It's like, dude, calm down. You somehow make a bunch of money from arcade machines.
I don't know how you're this wealthy, like.
How are you this wealthy and you desperately need this TV, like, this random, what could only be, what, maybe a local, maybe a something like TV channel to promote this music
video?
Well,
considering that the studio for this is in Harlem, you know, probably it's very local.
It's gotta be local. You're already in jukeboxes.
You're
somehow
already in jukeboxes. Like, you made it, like.
Exactly. But he is obsessed, and he tells her to basically get lost, and she's like, fine, and she's done with him. She leaves him, and then we get into some of my favorite parts of this movie. Leroy, feeling like he was an asshole, decides to go and visit Laura to apologize. He is dressed up, again, still like an ancient Chinese railway worker. But this
I feel like we need to amend this and that he looks more like a rice farmer.
Is it because of how light the color is?
Yes.
He has switched from the black to, like, it's like a white or silver or something. Like,
still, it's just different.
It's just different. I guess he has multiple colors. But yeah, he's
don't we all.
This movie could have that as a slogan, multiple colors. But, yeah, she shows up or whatever, and, like, she, not even batting an eye, does not care about how rude he was. He wanted to come and apologize, and she wants to show him something. But before they go to the studio, she decides to go change into her own Chinese garb.
Yeah, this is hilarious.
She is so down. It's in.
She is trying so hard. She is catering everything towards him. Especially because when they actually go to the studio, and she's playing this, like,
we'll get to that. I want to, not yet, I want to talk because as they're driving, because I have a scene as they're driving from her place
to the
studio, and they're talking, and he's like, well, you see, Laura, because, again, he's super awkward. He's a virgin. I got to know, because
he's not just a virgin, he's a super virgin.
So, it's like, I have this friend, and he's, like, really awkward towards girls, and I mean him. I love this, too. He's like, he doesn't know what to do with a woman. He can't paint. He doesn't even know how to draw. It's like,
ha ha ha!
Oh, goodness. And then he's like, you know, the art of making love.
You know, painting the art of making love.
And she's like, paintbrush? What are you talking about?
Bro, what are you saying right now?
But then immediately after he says that and is completely blunt about his inexperience, she's like, I'll teach you moves, Leroy. He's like, no, not
no,
me.
No, not me, my friend.
Ah, who?
He really saved it on that one.
Oh, yeah.
He was about to nosedive, but he saved it right at the end.
Luckily, he saved her life twice and is handsome, so he can get away with these things.
He sure can.
He can. But yeah, they're at the, like, music studio, and, you know, sometimes I like to look at time frames when we do these. I don't know what the time frame is for this movie. From her being infatuated with him to, I don't know if it's been days, a day, or whatever, but she has somehow compiled a compilation of Bruce Lee movies and bits against a song that she made called The Glow that she plays for him.
Great scene.
But yeah, so she's playing this video and it's all about The Glow or whatever. And he's like saying, talking about all the movies and just loving it. And she is just staring so hard at him as he's staring at these screens. And it's just like,
you're... He looks just so amazed at the screen.
He's just so in love or whatever. And then like she takes the moment as he's just infatuated with the TV to kiss him. And then he just backs away being super awkward and looks back at the TVs.
My God, Leroy, for God's sake, you're killing me.
She has compiled a martial arts music video for you. She's wearing this Chinese garb out in broad daylight with you. And in New York, you being two black people.
This is your wet dream.
She's beautiful. Like,
God damn it.
And then he finally does decide to make a move, but only when he sees on the screen Bruce Lee having a kissing scene in one of his movies, and he decides to do the same exact thing.
It's almost like he's been copying them the whole time.
Almost like that.
Enter the Last Dragon.
That would have been the sequel. They finish this incredibly awkward kiss that Leroy does, like Bruce Lee, and then he instantly remembers, he's like, oh, look, it's the Chinese Connection. See, Bruce Lee pretended to be somebody else to sneak in.
Sneak into the lair.
That's what I will do, and he immediately just dips.
He can't stop copying Bruce Lee.
He can't stop copying Bruce Lee and being terrible at reading social cues, because Laura is like, what? It's like, wait, no, you finally made a move. We're in this abandoned studio somehow. Okay. And she's like, thanks, Bruce. Like,
and not even like 10 seconds after he leaves, Richie is also there. And this is kind of a weird subplot that Richie's been trying to get Laura's like attention the entire time.
He's in love with Laura.
He's in love with Laura, has never met her. But is in love with her and is, like, mad that Leroy kissed her. So he goes back, and because he goes back, and because he's just around, he gets captured.
Because, yeah, cause like, Eddie comes in, captures Laura, and sees Richie. He doesn't know who Richie is, but he's like, yeah, you're also going to be kidnapped. Like, just grabs him and ties him up.
That's it. You're getting kidnapped. You're getting kidnapped. Everyone's getting kidnapped.
Everybody's
kidnapped. All y'all can get it.
Yeah. I've lost it. So
I own an arcade.
I'm Eddie motherfucking Arcadian. Nah. La la la. God. But yeah, so Bruce, Leroy Green decides to go and put on some age-appropriate clothes for the 80s, puts on, like, a red shirt, some jeans, and I think some Nikes or some Pumas or something.
Honestly, he's looking kind of fresh.
He actually looked good. Like,
so, I mean, like, it's like, he should dress like this all the time. Like,
dude, it's literally what I was thinking, too. I was like, you could just wear this all the time, man.
Does he own these clothes? Are those his clothes?
So I was wondering, too. It's like, well, he has to, because this guy would never steal. There's a whole other scene that we don't need to go into where he talks about, illegally going in somewhere, so this is not someone who would steal stuff. So
right.
He at least bought these, like, and that means he at least has style, I guess.
He may talk like a white person, but he still has a black person's style.
Oh, God. But yeah, so he goes there, he puts on some sunglasses, and outside he is practicing how to talk like a cool black person. He is like, "What's up, my soul brother? Hey, what is down? What is up?"
And he like he goes and, like he tries to do it in like higher or lower. He's like, "What's up, my brother?" Like,
"What is up, my brother?" Like, it's like, and they open up the door and he throws it all out. Just talks kind of like he does, but with these weird words. It's like, "What's up? I got a pizza for the master. You know, soul brother." They're like, "The master ordered a pizza? Yeah, with bean sprouts." Like, bean sprouts. I thought this was a little racist. Oh, hell, like, it's
hey,
like,
man, you never got a pizza with some bean sprouts on it?
Never. Not once.
Me neither. I've never seen this option. I've seen green peppers as an option.
That's the most veggies you'll get. But yeah, and they're like, the master ordered this? Yeah, maybe. And then they're like, "Hey, are you that one coolie from earlier or whatever?" And he's like, "No, no, we all just look alike."
And they're like, "Yes."
Yeah, okay.
We agree.
And they're skeptical, but they're like, hey, yeah, come in, man, you know, have some drink, smoke some herb. And he's like,
"Smoke some herb, drink some wine."
Exactly. Have a bottle of wine. And he's like, "Oh, no, I've already done enough." "Oh, okay, cool. You know how to shoot craps, my dude?"
"We're about to shoot craps." He's like,
and he's like, "Yes, craps."
Of course.
But Leroy basically has them set up hopscotch. Has them toss the dice across and skip around.
Oh. This was a good cover, honestly. Like, using these cultural differences.
Well, because they're like skeptical, but he's like, "See, this is how we play it in Harlem." And they're like, "Oh, right, right, yeah, this is how you play it in Harlem."
"That's how we played in Harlem, too."
God. But yeah, he's pushing about the master again, and he wants to get, you know, to him. And they're like, "I don't know about that." So he shows him the medallion, and these guys check out the medallion. Agree to let him see the master, take him outside, and steal his medallion.
And they lock the door.
Yep.
Because of course they did.
Of course they did.
Because Leroy's an idiot.
Literally. Yeah, yeah, just wait outside and we'll go get the master. And then Leroy and, honestly, this is what is, again, one of my favorite moments. They, like, seem so, like, we got him. Kicks open the door, smashes through, like, this wooden bead on the door and all the locks. Grabs one of the guys and demands to see the master. Like,
this is where it's Batman again.
Exactly. He has gotten angry. Like, he's like, I am done with all this.
Sick of this shit.
I'm done dealing with you three annoying, like, motherfuckers. Like, tell me where he is. And, like, obviously, after seeing a man kick through a door that you locked multiple times with a wooden beam, also. You're gonna tell him what he needs to know, and they're like, "There's no."
Master. I would.
Obviously, they're like, "There's no master. There's nobody here. There's nobody." And he's like, "What? No, there has to be." And they take him to a back room where Samdam Goy is a machine that just prints off these fortunes for the fortune cookies.
One of their first computers, actually.
Shout out to the Imitation Game.
Great movie.
Good movie. Oh, goodness. But, yeah, so Leroy, being very surprised and confused, goes back to his master, who I don't think we ever mentioned, just lives on a boat in the on somewhere on the shore of New York. And,
you know, as you do.
As you do. And he's like, "Master, some dumb goy was a machine. I don't understand." And he's like, "Leroy, I'm not going to copy how he talks or whatever, because, you know, but I'm going to say it in how a more succinct way like me." He's like, "Leroy, come on, dude. Get this already." <He's> like,
"Please. Just get it.
Just get it. I know I am being incredibly cryptic about this, but just come on, understand. This is my thing. I am the..."
You know,
you like fish sticks. You're gay fish. Just get it, man. Like, just get it.
But Master, I don't understand. Fish sticks. Everyone likes fish sticks.
Why are you so thick?
But yeah, so you know, he's like, come on, understand. He says basically to him, there's one last place you haven't looked, and that's where the Master is. And he's still just not getting it. He doesn't understand.
He's so dumb.
He is very dumb. He's so dense.
He is some dumb guy.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Exactly.
Right when I saw the billboard for it, I was like, some dumb guy? What the fuck? They're just saying it wrong, like.
Yes. Who wants fortunes from some dumb guy?
Well, Jackie, that's for you. I know you didn't understand that somehow.
Yeah, I thought of Jackie a few times listening to this. But that'll be in the extra bonus Patreon content.
Rad rum.
Wouldn't you guess? But, yeah, so, and then he's like, I'm going now, Leroy. I hope you figure this out. And he's like, where are you going? On some journey of exploration or, like, you know, knowledge?
No, I'm going to visit my mom in Miami.
I love that.
Leroy looks so confused, and I'm also confused, but, like, giggling a little, like.
Well, of course, because, yeah, this dude's, like, you know, like, an Asian guy in New York teaching this black guy, like, you know, kung fu. But he's just a guy. He's just a normal person. Like, Leroy is taking all this so seriously and mystically, and, like, you know, oh, this is journeys of exploration and, you know, into inner light. And
he's
all that,
being
like
a super virgin. That's it. That's his whole characteristic.
Innocence, yes. Oh, God. But, yeah, so, and while this is happening, at the dojo, Meanwhile, Johnny Yu is practicing his martial arts when none other than Angela comes in to warn Leroy, and Johnny, being Johnny Yu, is hitting on her. And he's like, Leroy's not around, but how about something in a medium-sized Oriental?
Oh, sorry, I'm not Jewish.
Johnny is just as confused as all of you are.
Once again, it's another thing where Johnny is just, he's like showing off his moves to her, and he's just like slapping this punching bag.
And making noises. Yeah! Man, she delivers this message or whatever. So then Leroy shows up or whatever after, and Johnny lets him know what's going on. We don't even really see that. We just see, like, Leroy coming in, Johnny trying to, like, slow him down or whatever, and he's, like, putting on his gear and grabbing weapons and stuff. And Johnny's like, you can't go, man. It's dangerous.
He's taking a bunch of weapons, too.
He's taking
weapons, like, we do not see later.
Dude, he's taking, like, ninja stars and, like, you know, nunchucks and all
that. Leroy's got an arsenal with him, like.
He has an entire closet in his dojo full of dangerous weapons. No guns, but every other dangerous weapon you could probably imagine.
Seriously. And then he locks Johnny inside.
Yes. Because he's like, this is the one moment where Leroy is more clever than you would assume, where he's like, do you plan to go and fight without a weapon? And he's like, oh, I guess I should get a weapon. So, for some reason, Johnny, unlike Leroy, goes into the closet to look for a weapon.
Fool.
And Leroy locks it. I thought this was weird, because I was like, Leroy, if you go die,
he's dead. Like, Johnny's dead. You just doomed him to die.
You doomed him to death. Like, it is by a miracle of luck that later this, like, kid, who has not been in the movie at all until this point.
He may have been in the other dojo scene.
He could have been.
Possibly.
I
don't know for sure, though.
I do know for sure. Because I'm obsessed with this movie.
Fair.
The kid is Ernie Reyes Jr. He's a super well-known for being in those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies and a few martial arts movies in the 90s.
Right.
And they got him near the end of the movie production, so they just insert him into the movie in the last half hour.
Yeah, and he just shows up and he just opens the door for him.
They don't explain it either. Like, he says, like, we already missed the last show. And I'm like, is this your brother? Just your friend? Like,
who are you?
Who is you? Oh, God. But, yeah, so he lets him out or whatever, and they head off to help Leroy. But Leroy is showing up to, you know, the seventh heaven where, you know, Eddie is waiting for him.
And this part is where it gets scary.
Yes.
Because all of a sudden, Eddie's face is on all the fucking screens.
He's yelling, Leroy!
And like, he's, like, the cam is, like, super shaky, like, on him. And it's like, oh my god, like, this is actually frightening. His face is terrifying.
He looks unhinged. Like, he, like, does that eye twitch and serious crazy eyes so well.
He really does.
Like, he looked like... He's a very terrifying man who, you know, I wouldn't assume to be scared of if I looked at him, you know, just straight up.
Excuse me.
But, yeah, he's playing a character well.
The bald part in the middle does not help either.
It does not.
No.
He... But, yeah, so, and then as he's coming in,
he's got the George Costanza haircut.
He does. This is worse George Costanza. But, yeah, so Leroy comes in to save Laura, and then... Eddie brings out all of his goons that he hired to, like, start fighting Leroy, and Leroy's fighting him and stuff and everything.
Dog guy is not barking anymore, which I was disappointed about.
He is not. And then there are a bunch of other guys in, like, masks and weird half-shirts. Again, Mortal Kombat rejects.
Seriously.
These are, like... Again, this movie turns into, like, Batman, where he is fighting these people that look like they should be...
They dead. Look ridiculous.
So ridiculous. It's like, how do you have, like, goon auditions, and you have all these insane... This world's insane.
The world of Harlem is insane. This is probably the best documentary I've ever seen about it.
But Leroy starts to lose or whatever, and luckily, because that kid let Johnny out of the closet...
Johnny has wrangled up. All the other kids from the dojo to come in here and kick ass.
It's one of those things, I'm very curious about what his sales pitch was. Hey, Master Leroy needs our help. He's going to go save that singer and producer from Seventh Heaven from the evil Arcadian owner in Harlem named Eddie Arcadian.
What?
Dude, I got algebra tomorrow.
Man... Mom's got meatloaf in the oven right now. Like, I got stuff to do. Like,
I'm 13.
You asked me to go beat up grown men.
Do they have weapons, dude? Like, how serious is this? Like,
this is very serious.
Should we call the authorities? Like,
and this scene is fantastic because Ernie Reyes Jr. starts kicking ass.
He does.
He starts beating the shit out of everyone, and he's like 3 feet tall. I yes. swear to God,
he's 3 feet tall. Like Johnny, somehow Johnny, you know, he's like doing his wah da da wah ha ha,
and it just starts working.
Actually, hits some guy. And he's like, oh my goodness, and he starts actually fighting people.
I did it.
But Eddie, obviously seeing the tide turning, decides to take Laura. Out of there to the abandoned building next door to Seventh Heaven. Obviously, it's Harlem in the 1980s. This is actually one of the most believable things in the movie.
Honestly.
And then a pimped out Santa Claus grabs Leroy to stop him from going after them immediately. Before all of his kids jump on that guy, and the guy's just... Goodness.
They literally kick him in the ass.
Yeah.
My God. This poor guy.
God. But yeah, so Leroy heads over to the abandoned building next door. Richie also slips out of his ropes to go help. Richie gets attacked by one of Shonuff's other guys, and then Leroy has a fight with him real quick. Goes to check on Richie, who got thrown into like a metal canister and has most likely a concussion. And is like, we gotta go save Laura. We gotta help her. And Leroy's like, no, no. He takes him. Throws him into a cage, locks it.
This is his new thing. At the end of the movie, it's just locking people inside of other things.
Again, it's another thing where it's like, dude, if you lose this fight, they're gonna kill
you.
They're
dead! Like,
you should tell him, leave. Go out of here, head back to our parents. Then he goes to, you know, find Eddie and Laura, and who else shows up but Shonuff? For some reason, this is really weird because it's like, Shonuff only joined in to fight, like, you know, Leroy, like...
They offered him all this money, and he's like, no. No. Make sure he is here at the designated area at a designated time.
And Eddie, again, good line, he's like, whatever. He closes the money on his goon's hands. And it's like, you know, we'll get him to you, Mr. Nuff. And Shonuff's like...
I love that. He keeps calling him Mr. Nuff. The whiteness really showing.
I thought the same thing. He's like, and you're like, oh, your name's Shonuff.
Mr. Nuff.
And you see, like, Shonuff's face, like, are you fucking like.
I'm the Shogun of Harlem. Disrespectful.
How dare you? But yeah, so, oh my goodness. So then they start, fighting or whatever, and you know, it's they're going at it and stuff, and like he Bruce Leroy eventually kicks him through a wall and knocks him out, and he's going to go like look for Laura again, but then Shonuff's like, Leroy. And then like he's disappeared from behind the door. And Leroy goes to looking for him, and he just like vanished.
And you know, at that point I really thought Shonuff was just dead. I thought he killed him. There's, like, so much blood going off of, like, Shonuff's face.
Yes.
And then, like, he's just gone. He just disappears. There's nothing even on the ground. Like, no trace of him. Like,
him becoming a ghost would explain a lot more what happens next, because everything goes up 100 in this next part. Where Shonuff, now ready to fight Leroy again, pulls up his hands, and they start glowing.
They start glowing red.
They start glowing red.
Welcome to anime.
Dude, this becomes anime. Like, it's a socially inept guy with an incredibly beautiful girl that's into him. Magic's involved somehow. Over-the-top characters and nonsense going on. This, dude, this is... It's so anime. This is, like... It's anime before anime.
Seriously.
Dude, this is literally the Wu-Tang Clan. Watch this all the time. But, like, what was it? They, So, yeah, his hands are glowing, and he's just beating the crap out of Leroy, and like sparks are coming off every time they hit or whatever, and he's like yelling at him the entire time, who's the master? And like Leroy's not saying it.
When I say who's the master, you say Shonuff. Now who's the master?
Leroy disoriented with his concussion.
Not possibly speak right now.
I can't hear you. He like knocks him down. They go to another level. He rips his shirt off to expose his chest and arms or whatever, and says, who's the master? Still not seeing it. Hits him, and like Eddie's watching the entire time, just loving it. And like finally showed up, brings him over to like a water tank and starts trying to drown him. And Eddie's like, drown him, stop playing around, just kill him. Like,
yeah, runs down there so you can help kill him.
Exactly. And in this moment, as you know, it's funny. This is actually, you don't know this, but this reminds me of a scene from one of the Fast and Furious movies where Vin Diesel falls into the water and he starts having visions of the past.
Did they steal this from this?
I think they did.
Oh, God.
Dude, that's what all movies just steal things from cult classics, because, you know, it's like, who's going to say anything? But yeah,
people who watch the cult classics.
Exactly. So just stuff on Reddit and Tumblr.
Nice.
But yeah, so during this, Leroy's having these premonitions of the past, and he's saying stuff like, you have completed your training, you know, and like Laura saying like, you look like a master to me, and his master being like, there's one place left that you haven't looked. And then like he pulls him up one last time, and Shonuff asks him, who's the master? And he's like, I am.
Nice.
Yeah. And Shonuff goes to punch him or whatever, and he catches his fist. And then he just goes Super Saiyan.
Once again, that's exactly what I thought. He just started glowing yellow. He's Super Saiyan now. Yellow.
Dude, when I first saw this, I was like, woo.
Then he starts going up. He's hitting Shonuff, and like the sparks are coming off. And it's like, this is anime. This is complete anime.
Yes.
This spawned Dragon Ball. I'm positive.
Dude, honestly, I think Dragon Ball came out in 6, technically.
Would you look at that?
Let's see. Got some copyright.
So naturally, he gets to the point where, you know, Leroy is completely overpowered, and he kicks Shogun's ass, and, like, he, like, throws him upside down into the same, like, I don't even know what this is, this little body of water that's in there.
Just another tank.
Like, yeah, it's just a tank of water that's in there.
Abandoned factory?
It's not covered or anything, it's just, the water's in there, whatever. And he's, like, upside down, and once again, I was like, Shogun is dead. Shown up is dead, like.
Okay, he, like, kicks him into it, and, like, he's, like, unconscious in the water. And Leroy looks at him, and he's, like, he literally groans, like,
very begrudgingly.
I can't let this man die. Like, goes and pulls his head out of it at least and holds him over the edge. Also, there's something we missed, is when Leroy grabs his fist or whatever and is, like, crushing or whatever. It's funny because Shonuff drops the whole, like, I'm the Shogun of Harlem. He's like, let me go, motherfucker. He's like, God. I'm like, what are you? Ah, my hand. Please, let me go. Because, you know, both of them have been talking these crazy ways all movie, and he's like, no. Like, start talking like Rick James.
I'm Rick James, bitch. Rick
James, bitch.
Please, let go of my hand.
What you doing, motherfucker? Let me go. But, yeah, they stop that, and they, I mean, oh, goodness. He, like, stops him or whatever, and he's like, ah, I've won and stuff. And then Eddie Arcadian and comes out of nowhere and is like, hey, you know, the only thing that stops all this chop, like, suey stuff is, you know, like a 45 or something.
Yeah, 45.
Yep.
Referencing his gun, of course.
Exactly. And he shoots Leroy in the head. And then, like, Laura and Richie are all like, oh, my goodness, Leroy's dead. He's killed him. Eddie goes over to check
him. I could see why you would think that.
You could. And he goes over to check him, and he kicks him over. And then we see Leroy wake up. He has the bullet in his teeth.
Ah, great callback.
And
that's what Shonuff said. Right at the beginning.
Exactly. And Eddie, being too slow, unlike when he took his mask off, doesn't shoot him again. He was able to knock him onto the ground, punch him one time, and then, I'm assuming, give him a wedgie, like, hooks him onto a chain and pulls him
up. Yeah, he pulls him up once again. I thought this was going to get real dark again. I thought he was going to, like, hang him or something.
The movie's been so bright and vibrant until this last bit where it gets so gritty.
It's like, so gritty and
it's
dark.
So gritty. Like, apparently, the original director wanted the movie to be a lot grittier, but then, you know, Barry Gordy got involved and he was like, no, we got to make this a Motown movie, you know?
This
so,
is fun.
Exactly. I would have loved to see the original pitch of this gritty Last Dragon.
It would be a lot worse. Probably. If this was more serious, it would be so much worse.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, so the fight's over, and everyone's happy. And out of nowhere, all of, like, the producers and assistants for Laura's show come out like, Laura, what are you doing? You're late for the show. We got to get you ready.
You look terrible. You assholes.
Have you not seen what's been going on? Who's in the studio? Are they still fighting?
You understand all the police are here, correct?
Exactly, because the police show up, and I do love this, because, like, literally, Eddie Arcadian is trying to, you know, pull the stereotypical. He's like, oh my goodness, officers, these hoodlums, they, you know, were attacking me and stuff.
Me and Mr. Nuff were just, hanging out, and then all of a sudden,
they attacked me. And you're like, ah, we've heard it before, Eddie Arcadian, you're going away. And it's like, why? What do you guys have? Like, I mean, like, obviously he's been doing crap, but, like, you just know, like.
I would hope they know. I'd hope at some point someone would tell the police that he's kidnapped the same girl 3 times. Three different occasions.
At some point, someone has called the police.
It's probably Angela, because she's not been in this movie since, for a long time.
Angela dipped, and then also, as she was leaving the Kew Gardens, she was like, I should call the police.
No, be responsible.
No one's done anything like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, all the martial arts nonsense that happens in Karate Kid makes sense, because it's like, you know, it's like a teen drama or whatever. It's like, you never get super serious or whatever, you can see that. This is kidnapping and possible murder. Like, this is...
Right, these are serious crimes.
These are felonies, like... But yeah, so they start the show back up or whatever, and they're dancing, and then I'm pretty sure all the students are just in white clothes now, dancing there.
Yep.
With whoever else. Richie's dancing with some random girl that we've never seen.
Go, Richie.
The man's got game, unlike Leroy.
Yeah, Leroy sucks.
Exactly.
And besides his golden fist.
Yes, and misses. But before they transition to this scene, Laura and Richie are looking for Leroy, and he's vanished again. He's just disappeared. He's pulled another Batman.
I'm Batman. I'm Leroy.
You know, this movie does predate the 1989 Batman movie.
This came out with everything.
It's like, we may have found the movie that inspired it all.
The greatest movie of all time. Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
But yeah, so so Laura's sad and miserable because, you know, it's the third time she's been kidnapped. She's luckily survived with her life somehow. But Leroy's not around, you know. Her show's going, she's miserable. But then out of nowhere, Leroy comes in. Also dressed in white clothes with, like, a gold sash or something. And
yeah, he got the memo.
He got the memo. He, you know, I guess there's, like, no time frame, technically. I guess he could have left, got white clothes.
This could have been a year later. We'd never known.
That's a fair point. This could be weeks later for all I know.
The time frame in this movie is not explained.
It's not at all. This could be a few days. It could be several months, years.
Who knows?
Who knows? But he's got the flowers. Laura comes over to him. They kiss. The movie's basically over.
The end. Good movie.
It was.
I liked it.
Exactly. This has been a movie I've always loved. This movie is very big in the black community because there's this thing with, like, black people really enjoy kung fu movies that came out in, like, the 70s and stuff, and they were, like, had these awful dubs, which I would try to parody, but without you being able to see my face, it doesn't matter. But this was, like, a culmination of all that. This is, like, a kid that grew up on all those movies, and, you know, he's getting to show off his martial arts skill and stuff, and it came right after The Karate Kid, which blew open, you know, American karate. So
now everyone was loving karate.
Exactly. Like, it, everyone, like, you know, it just, it's such a special movie for me. I can obviously see its faults and everything. I know those completely, but
it's very silly.
Exactly. It's incredibly silly. It, like I keep saying, it's like the plot of a Saturday morning cartoon. Oh, God. But yeah, it's a solid movie. I enjoyed it. Ratings out of 10?
I'll give it, like, a 6.5.
Yep. I'm gonna go 6. It is such an enjoyable watch. Like, I would
recommend. It's super enjoyable.
Exactly. Like, and it's such a cultural capstone. This is, like, you could watch this and know nothing about the 80s and have such a good idea what the 80s was after watching this.
Quintessential 80s movie, honestly. After watching it.
It gives you such a variety of music and everything. The only thing it's probably missing is, like, maybe a random thing from, like, Run DMC or something like that. It's only missing good rap music. And, I mean, it was the mid-80s, so they weren't super popular at that time. Like, I don't think
yet.
It wasn't until Walk This Way where they, like, exploded. Because, you know, then it was, like, white kids, like, hey, I like this rap music. Who are these guys?
I like this Ruby the Rabbit the Roop.
Who's R.U.N. and DMC? No, it's Run Da. Dunk.
Run Demre. Run Demre. Run Dururur.
Guys, shut up. Let's listen to the Beastie Boys.
Bro, I love the Beastie Boys, bro. It's tricky. It's tricky, 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 tricky.
Oh,
good outro.
But yeah, that's our rating, guys. Thanks for listening. As always, there is a link at the bottom of this episode. You can submit in ideas for possible movies that we can do. We've already gotten a submission for The Shining from one of our listeners. But yeah, if you ever want to, we're always looking for new, interesting movies to talk about. put that in there. Also follow, there's no like and subscribe, this isn't YouTube, until I put this on YouTube, I guess. And then, I guess, like and subscribe.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, that's it. Any closing remarks?
Good movie. Liked it a lot.
Exactly.
Didn't expect I'd like it this much.
Hey, dude.
I thought it was going to be a lot dumber.
It is such a good movie. And honestly, guys, now, sadly to say, the podcast is over. This has all been a convoluted scheme to get Jack to watch The Last Dragon.
I knew it.
It only took 4 weeks of effort. Editing, setting up a podcast page and Instagram. Monetizing it and slowly building a following. But I pulled it off. The perfect scam.
You know I don't want to have anything to do with Barry Gordy.
No one does.
Stop scamming me like Barry Gordy.
I only scam you when we get monetized.
That's fair.
Oh, goodness. Well, that's it. See ya. Oh.